Welcome to That's History, our regular exploration of the historical roots of current events and the echoes, parallels, and lessons from the past. I'm Chris Cetullo, and joined as always by Jonathan Zimmerman, professor of history at New York University. Jonathan, how are you doing?
Good to be here.
So what's in the news as much as anything right now is the question of police behavior, particularly in minority neighborhoods, and the incidents in Baltimore, the Freddie Gray case. And you have looked back into the history of particularly African Americans serving in the police and found some pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah, I mean, right now, almost all of our public discourse has been focused on the question of race and possible racial discrimination against Freddie Gray. But there's also an incredibly long and tortured history of discrimination against African-American police officers.
And we should probably jump in and say, of the six officers who have been indicted in connection with the case, three of them are African-American.
Indeed. And the lone officer charged with murder, second-degree murder, is himself African-American, the police officer who was driving the van where allegedly Freddie Gray
got the rough ride, yes, in Philadelphia we would call it a nickel ride.
Indeed. So all of the other officers were charged with manslaughter or assault. There was only one person who was charged with murder, and he was African-American.
But the history of African-Americans serving in the police anywhere in America, but particularly in a southern city such as Baltimore, border state, is fraught and sort of begins after the Civil War.
Right. I mean, before the Civil War, what the police forces in the South did that were all white was they enforced the law, and that included the slavery law. So what they did was they ran after fugitive slaves, and they were part of the so-called slave patrol. Then after the Civil War, during Reconstruction, there's this brief era where the federal government sends the military back to the South to try to enforce some semblance of civil rights for African Americans. That's the era where there are several African Americans that are elected to Congress because blacks have some voting rights. Well, there were also black police officers. It's astonishing to think that Tallahassee and Little Rock had black police commissioners during the era of Reconstruction.
Wow.
And cities like New Orleans hired dozens of African American police officers, not in proportion to the fraction of the population that was black, but enough to send fear and loathing and anger through the white population. There were riots against the hiring of black police officers. And when Reconstruction ends and the military is withdrawn from the South, almost all of the black police officers are fired, so that by 1910, we think in the lower South, the so-called cotton belts of the former Confederacy, there are zero black police officers.
Now, Jonathan, going back to that period in Reconstruction where the African-American police officers were being hired, were they deployed only to African-American neighborhoods?
Yes, and in fact, that would continue until the 1970s. The idea was if you were a black police officer, you could only patrol in black communities, and you were barred from arresting whites. After automobiles become ubiquitous in American cities, black police officers were even barred from issuing tickets, that is, speeding tickets, to white motorists.
Yet some whites still felt assaulted in some way by the very notion that blacks could have the police power, could wear a badge.
Absolutely. So assaulted, in fact, that in the cities that did hire black police officers, they're often banned from wearing their uniforms outside of work, even to and fro work.
Oh, wow.
Some of them were also barred from wearing their uniforms even if they testified in court, as police officers are sometimes called to do.
Now, presumably, this changes a little bit with the civil rights movement, as so much else in America did.
It did, and an African-American protest had a good deal to do with that. We know that in Atlanta, after the First World War, 300 African-American veterans protested outside of City Hall, pointing out that they had served their country in World War II in a fight, incidentally, against a racist enemy, the Nazis, but were still barred from serving their city, the city of Atlanta, in the police force. And eventually that became a winning argument, and slowly southern cities started to hire African Americans.
So coming up to the current day, when you look at situations such as have happened in Baltimore and in Ferguson and in Madison and Cleveland, far too many American cities just in the last year, Staten Island, it's about race. Almost everything about America and American cities is about race, but it's more complicated than simply saying it's about race. A lot of the officers who we're seeing being involved in these incidents that cause an uproar and protest are African Americans. So how do you sort of think your way through that based on the history?
Well, you know, I'd say, yes, it's not about race, but it's also not about merely the fraction of the force, the police force, that's African American. So it was well reported in Ferguson, a city that's now two-thirds black, that something like 5% of the police force was African American. And I think there were lots of just and reasonable concerns raised about that. But in the city of Baltimore, which is also a majority black city, almost half the police force now is black. And indeed, as you were pointing out earlier, the Freddie Gray case embodied that split. You've got six officers who were charged, three are black, three are white. The really hard part is because of this history of discrimination against African-American officers, we also have to ask the degree to which in a case like Baltimore, black officers might be penalized more heavily than white officers or disciplined more heavily. In fact, in the city of Baltimore, there was a lawsuit that was settled in 2009 alleging precisely that, that black police officers were disciplined more severely than white police officers, and the city settled with over a dozen of them for a couple million dollars. Of course, we don't know if in the Freddie Gray case any particular black police officer, including the driver, was penalized more heavily because of their race, but I do think that the history should make us ask that question.
Right. So in this case, we have African-American mayor, African-American prosecutor, but it's never – you can never necessarily tease out how the weight of history affects the decision-making that anybody in the moment is doing in a case
like this. Exactly. And I guess the point I would emphasize is the weight of history weighs, if you will, in many different directions. I think part of the weight of history has to do with the way that black males have been criminalized in the minds of many other Americans, especially white Americans, the way they've been suspected of certain crimes, whether they've committed them or not. But there's another weight, of course, having to do with black police officers themselves and the way that they've been characterized and sometimes victimized. And I think we just have to keep both of those histories in mind.